You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is Jeb Terry.
This is Jebby.
And this is the NFL
Players
Second Acts Podcast.
I'm Peanut Tillman, and this is the NFL Players Second Acts Podcast. And with me, as always, my trusted sidekick, the Deacon Roman Harper. What's up, baby?
I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Peanut. That was actually a normal intro
to me,
and I appreciate that. You don't ever do that. So with all that being said, I want to thank all of our listeners and the people that watch us all the time. Appreciate it. Wherever you get your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio Podcasts, please continue to give us a review. 5 stars, and tell a friend to make sure they hit the follow, hit the review, write it all down. My man Thomas will answer all your questions. Peanut, who we got today?
We got a good one, guys. He was in the 2004 draft, drafted by Tampa Bay, played 3 seasons. He's killing it in the business world. He's a tech guru.
That's why.
He's the CEO of Cosm. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, podcast, Jeb Terry.
Hey. Glad to be here, guys. Glad to be here.
You know what I like about Jeb is that the moment he sat down, he said, okay, who do I got to beat? All right.
Yeah.
Let's just get it all out the way.
Competition is
who's
like
number
there.
Who we beating? Who I got to beat? Who's at the top of the show?
Yeah.
That's what we're gunning for, right?
I love it, though.
You got to find competition, man.
Hey, I like it, though. I like
find
it. I love it. Hey, wait, now, where are you from? I'm hearing some that accent. What is that?
Yeah, you know, grew up in Dallas, Texas.
Damn, so, my God. Then, you know, yeah.
What part of Dallas?
Just North Dallas. So
yeah.
Preston Hollow area.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Grew up there proper. Started in Lakewood. Moved over to Preston Hollow. You know?
I'm a Carpers Cove, Waco, Temple.
Oh, there it is.
I'm a Central Texas.
There it is.
Yeah, Lynn Passes, Belton.
That place has changed.
Yes,
by the way.
It's
Waco
changed a
lot. Booming right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
It's pretty incredible.
That's me. Yeah, that's Texas has the best football, Rome.
I'll co-sign that for sure.
We killing Alabama high school football.
No chance. Florida, get out of here. California, get out of
here.
Yeah,
the only thing
Texas.
Alabama y'all doing right now is like fighting on riverboats. That's all y'all got right now. That's all y'all doing. Fighting on riverboats.
I didn't realize this was what was going to happen. I'm here for it.
Yeah. We will accept that.
Right.
We will openly accept that. Now, I will tell you this, as far as high school football is concerned in Texas, and I listen to all the scouts from ESPN and the people I work with on my SEC Nation and network, they say, you know what? Texas football players are great. They're really, really good. But they are usually the same player that you get in high school. They're going to kind of be that. They're kind of maxed out because they've been getting coached up doing the same thing since like sixth grade versus Florida, some other athletes, some other places. They probably have a bigger runway and maybe a higher ceiling. Purely because like they're a little bit more raw.
You know,
versus Texas, you guys do such a great job of coaching them since fifth grade.
Hey, I'm coming from Carolina where the ceiling is the roof. You know what I mean? I don't know if you remember Jordan said out there, but I got to tell you what, man, there's no ceiling for Texas football right now.
Zero.
We're growing up there. Mm. The competition is real from day one.
Yes,
it is.
And you're playing quick.
Yeah, you playing it like Pop Warner. Like
early.
You guys are tackling early. Like they're out there.
Early.
Six years old.
Yeah.
This is what's going on.
I didn't play that early, but I wanted to. That's for sure.
I know I did. I know I did.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just get. We're talking about football. Well, let's get the first one out the way. We'd love to know what was your first welcome to the NFL moment.
Yeah. So all right, the Bucs drafted me.
Yeah.
Right. Coming off that Super Bowl team in 2002, and I come in and there's guys like Derek Brooks, you know, Mike Allstott, you know, guys you look up to, and mine was just in practice. Right. I all of a sudden I find myself blocking Derek and Allstott cuts behind me and you're like, oh wow, this is the real deal.
Yeah, these are the guys I've been watching on TV.
These are the guys I've been watching for forever, man.
Yeah.
You know, and that was one of the things is just like just an appreciation for the skill
yeah.
and the talent that these guys had, because it wasn't like I was going into a team that was rebuilding. The team wasn't up and coming. This team was established.
Yeah.
And that defense at the time was league's best.
Yeah. Right?
And we had some guys that you followed for a long time. And that was always something that was incredible to me, being able to play in that room.
What were those practices like?
Hot.
They hot. Still don't have an indoor.
Man, Tampa. No, they do now. Tampa's got one now.
Do they finally have an indoor?
I was at Old One Buck when we were there. And I don't know, you fly in and the airplanes came right over the top of that practice facility, man. It was, and I had come from Carolina where they had just redone the whole Kenan Football Center and the whole deal. So we had these great facilities at Carolina. And I was like, all right, we're going to the NFL. This
should nice. Be better.
No, Old One Buck was not that.
Yeah.
But man, the practices were intense because the guys were all pros.
Yeah. You know,
everyone on that team was a pro.
It's a lot of Hall of Famers.
Simeon Rice, Rondé, Booger McFarlane, Allstott. I mean, just stacked up. Tiki
was running back.
Rondé.
Excuse me.
We had Rondé, and then you had, you know, Gruden was the coach, and then you had, you know, guys like Ron Middleton, tight ends coach.
Rob Marinelli, Raheem Morris, Mike Tomlin.
You know, those coach, that Monty, coaching tree.
I forget Joe Gruden.
Bill Muir. Yeah. I mean, like, these guys, that coaching tree is wild. You look around the NFL right now, and these guys are all still doing it at a big scale, really big scale. And that team, the coaching staff, everybody came to the room and worked.
Yeah.
And it was awesome to be part of that organization.
Now, I know your career ended a little short, Lo.
Yeah.
It ended a little short, but I know you probably still wanted to play. Like, what was your best memory? What highlight of your
career? I will say on that intro, we said 3 years. I got five all the way in.
Oh, there it is. You know, I apologize.
That's invested, you know, dog.
That's on me. I apologize.
However you get there, it does not matter.
You know, I had one. Which I had gotten hurt and did the whole injury settlement thing.
That's
the other one I was coming back. So, you know, look, my career was one where I got close to being really, really good. And then some things got in the way and, you know, things happened in the NFL.
Yeah.
I got hurt. I wasn't playing great. And it was pretty obvious to me where I wasn't playing up to the standard that I knew I could play.
Yeah.
And so I'd gone to the 49ers in my last season and I tore a plantar fascia and again, just wasn't playing good football.
Yeah.
And it was pretty obvious when they cut me. It's one of those things where they go, hey, Jeb, need to talk to you. You're like, oh, yeah, I get it, right? That's actually one of the things I miss about playing football is the transparent nature of feedback. Like, you know,
we talk about
when
that.
You are not
plus
performing.
Or minus.
It's like, a plus or minus
it's league. It's a plus or minus league, yeah.
It's clear. And it was pretty clear to me. And I tried to hang on for a little bit. Had a few workouts that last season. Fortunately, I'd taken the GMAT, right, the MBA test,
and
was in a good enough position to apply to a few schools. And it was kind of – had to make a decision where I knew I wasn't playing to the level I wanted to play at.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if I could get back there. You know, when you're playing really good and the game's moving slow and you feel good. And so kind of made that decision in year five that it was, I had to move on and go chase that second act.
Yeah.
And you know, the
you
fire
went back
burned
to Chapel Hill
to make the act better than the first.
Yeah. You went back to Chapel Hill.
I did. I went back to Chapel Hill. I looked at a lot of places and I had my oldest daughter at the time. It was 2008. Market crashed. I got cut and my first kid was born. And it's like, whoa,
the triple
it's real.
It comes real fast. Yeah. Right. You know? Yeah. And so I was like, all right, get back to business school, regroup, refresh, figure out that next step.
And so you're the CEO of your company, Cosm.
Yep.
And I want you to be able to share with everybody else. And it's spelled COSM.
Yep.
And now be able, what does it bring to the fans and tell, kind of explain what it is. I tried to read up on it and it looks really, really cool on the
website.
It's
very technical. So
and I'm just like,
we're not even going to try it.
Yeah,
don't even try it.
Go.
Don't
okay, good.
It's one of those things where you go to like an event or cocktail party and someone asks, what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, you don't even want to tell them sometimes. Man, it's going to take a while.
I was like, okay, good. This makes me feel a lot better.
Now, look, what we're setting out to do is the most incredible fan viewing experience I think to ever hit the industry.
Yeah.
You know, I was fortunate. I had a few seats along the way as a mobile video platform, a company I started, got bought by Fox Sports, went and worked at Fox for a long time where I met a bunch of the guys in and around this office as well and learned a lot from them and then moved on.
Oh, you were definitely hamming up with all the guys earlier. This is where you know all of them from.
We got some stomping grounds. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's like combining all the stuff that I was able to learn when I was at those seats and then leaning into some super kind of advanced technology that's happening that's, you know, a lot of people aren't going to be seeing for a number of years, but it's combining that to super serve the fan and give them that all access seat that you never had. Right. So everyone has heard about virtual reality
and
how you put on a headset and it's like you're actually at the game.
Right.
Right. And like, you can do that and it's pretty cool, but cool you miss the energy, the vibe, the whole scene and the environment. And that's what we're about at Cosm, is I leverage all that technology to power those experiences, but I bring it at a scale to where you are in that environment with hundreds and hundreds of fans, and you can high five and you can cheer, and it's the same environment like you're actually at the game itself. And we do it in a live format at super high resolution, and we can literally transport fans to their best seat, whether it's courtside, pitch side, 50-yard line, you name it, I can take them there. And it is it's an undescribable thing. And we have to be patient with that. Right. And then we talk about patience a lot.
Yeah.
And we have to be willing to be misunderstood until we launch. And that's kind of part of it, and being resolute in that mission. And we're opening up our first venue here.
Yeah.
I don't know, 200 yards away just from here. It's a 65,000 square foot facility, and it is going to blow your mind. It is one of the most incredible technological advancements I think I've seen in my career.
Yeah.
And the team around it developing this, bringing us to life is the most amazing experience that I think has hit the industry in a long time.
Now, the pandemic hit a lot of people hard a few years back, and a lot of companies went belly up and whatnot. How hard was it for Cosm to get started during the pandemic?
Man, it was interesting. We saw a trend in the industry prior to it, mm-hmm. like the watch party phenomenon. Right? Everyone wants to go and hang out and watch the game together. Really prevalent with World Cups, you know, you got to see the soccer fans and then the Premier League fans, and that started to expand, and you got the Deer District right in Milwaukee and you got Jurassic Park with the Raptor.
Yeah.
That was a thing that was happening. And I think, you know, the pandemic kind of shined the light on the fact that we as humans, we want connectivity. We want the energy of the crowd. Us being here is way better than like a Zoom podcast.
You know, 1,000%.
We did the Zoom.
It's tough.
This is it. This is like, is what we need.
This is what we wanted to do. We want the juice, the energy, right? And you think about that human connectivity, and that's what our business is all about. And so we were able to buy companies up, and one of the companies we bought was a public company. We took it private. That was on April 6th, 2020. So week three of the pandemic.
Yeah.
Right. That was when it was gnarly. But then the pandemic created opportunities to be capital efficient with our acquisition strategy. We bought a few more companies. We rolled them up. Now it created, you know, really difficulties in managing a distributed workforce around the world via Zoom.
Yeah.
And I'm an in-person guy by nature. And so it's hard to express that.
Yeah.
But we were able to fight through it. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think it hardened us a little bit. If you look through the history of some of the great companies that were founded, they got founded in downturns or in crises, things like that. And, you know, it's a mix of being opportunistic, finding the right opportunities, and people changed their frame of reference and looked for different things, right? Whether that's building a team, people had a different perspective. Like, man, I want to do something fun, right? I want to do something that excites me, something that's like next cutting edge, and we're able to offer those opportunities. And I actually think it's going to end up being part of our big narrative of how our company was built.
Now, you guys are looking to expand in Dallas.
Yep.
You're going to build there in Dallas. We're at in Dallas.
Okay.
And are you going to try and base it around like the arena? Almost like what you're talking about with the Bucks zone or the what the Raptors have outside there. Because, you know, we look at it, and you great example is the World Cup when you see Argentina win it all, like going crazy,
country goes
the whole crazy. Crazy, and awesome. It's like right there.
being able to
bring that to the fans, no matter where it will be, I think it will be a unique experience. And that's the moment. And people don't understand, like, sports gives us this emotion that you can't get anywhere else. That last second shot, that last second field goal, that game stopping, whatever. It's this emotion that you don't get doing anything else.
You don't get it. And it's the ability to high five and be around fans that are sharing that joy, and high fiving someone you've never met or never know, chest bumping, you know, fist bumping, whatever it is, it's that energy. And so we want to deploy that at a massive scale. So we've announced our one here. We've announced our one in North Texas. So there's an area called Frisco, which is,
you know, I said that. I said, I bet it's in Frisco.
So we are in the Colony, which is Frisco adjacent, if you want to say anything, but it's all in North Texas here at an entertainment district called Grandscape. So it's a mixed use entertainment district, but that strategy is further away from the venues in Arlington, from the stadiums. And so here we are stadium adjacent, right in the mix, always shoulder programming, organic. When the team's on the road, come watch at Cosm. That type of energy with a lot of traffic and demand, and the pre, the post, the entire programming slate. In Texas, you look at it for the fans that can't get to the arena, that it's too far to get to, and offering that amenity there. And it's the entire day part, whether it's showing Premier League games in the morning, rolling into the NBA in the evening, everything in between. and you've got UFC pay-per-views and you have all the program on the weekend, you can fill a content counter real fast. And it's all live. And so it's always new, always fresh, and you're going to come to Cosmo to see it all.
I know you partnered with UFC in July, and I know fans got to experience like something, a one-of-a-kind experience. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so every time we announce a big deal, we have a media day where we bring up, you know, the league, the federation, whoever it is we partner with, and then we bring up all their media. So we did a big one.
With, did a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The NBA.
Where
is he going?
Is he digging?
No. So we did one with the NBA around their All-Star game in Salt Lake. That's where we have a big demo facility.
Yep.
And then we hosted the UFCs as well after we announced that. And it's just about bringing the people in and seeing what we're talking about. Yeah. This is a see it to believe
it
thing, which is right. It's inherently hard to market and promote, but once they're in, it's ridiculously shareable. Yeah. We talk about this thing called the viral coefficient, right? Where it's when someone experiences your product, your tech, your food, what all they just want to share about it. They want to post, they want to drive more awareness. And we think ours is really big because we've seen it when people come, all they want to do is film and say they were there. And so that's part of the of what we're doing as we share this out. And you mentioned that the energy of sport and fandom and all that stuff, that's the business we deal in. And there's nothing better because we all self-select and say, I want more Saints gear. I want more Bears gear. I want more Bucks gear. All the fans are out there saying that I want more. And so if we can always position to super serve that fan and give them what they want, we have a chance.
How many people can you fit in the facility?
Yeah, so
65,000 square feet. How many people?
So right here, the total capacity is 2,000 people in this. And so you get a good energy. And I'm just bringing up my phone because I got to show you the video. There's no other way to do it than to show you what we're looking at right here. So this is what we built up in Salt Lake City.
So can you describe it, what we're looking at?
Yeah, so we're walking into our office here. We call it the Experience Center. And this is where we prep and onboard you. And then all of a sudden you go into the dome and it is that transformative experience. So this is an 8K, 20-meter diameter LED dome that is crystal clear and puts you there. We have a spatial audio system, so when the pin drops, it's in the upper 90. When the ball hits the net, you know where it is. Then you level that up with a elevated hospitality, right? Great F&B, elevated foods. You can hear his head hit the mat in this thing.
Yeah.
And you have the energy of the crowd, and we do all this live. And so these are the things our teams did, from producing the Olympics to producing the World Cup to going around the world and doing this in a live format. I can now bring that at scale to give fans that best seat in the house, no matter what it is. We leverage the linear feed and bring it over top so you get the color commentary.
Yeah.
Right. So it's really the best of at home and the best of in stadium experience. And it is, we think it's truly one of a kind and a category defining thing.
Oh my gosh. So when are we getting one in Chicago? I like that thing right there.
We're looking.
Oh my God. When are we getting one in Chicago? Let me do some looking when I get on my plane tonight.
So Jeff, tell me this. How would this go along with a Super Bowl experience? Like, how would you guys be able to do that? Just understanding, I mean, you're a football guy.
Yeah.
So
no doubt.
How are we going to scale this in football terms?
You're no doubt.
Right here. I know you're going to show everything, but how would this compare to an in-game Super Bowl experience versus what you're bringing to the table?
So the promise of what we're bringing is it is a complimentary experience to being in a stadium. We are never going to take that place.
Correct.
That is a sacred environment.
I appreciate you saying
that. There's no way we can ever replace that. What we want to do is offer fans who might not be in that city, who might not be able to get there, who want to try to experience something as close to it as possible. That's the offering we're trying to give them. And we endeavor to have the second best Super Bowl experience in the world, as opposed from being there in itself.
Right.
And again, guys,
hell of a lot cheaper.
Look, you said it. I mean,
these tickets are insane.
Look, it's definitely an intricate puzzle, and it takes a lot of patience to go through it and navigate with leagues, federations, broadcasters, all the partners, all the rights holders. And our whole approach is you have to be additive. You got to make the pie bigger. We aren't cannibalizing any existing distribution outlet, and that's our approach.
That's so smart,
and have a partnership minded approach the entire time. And You know, hopefully pulling some heartstrings is, you know, being on the field in certain situations too. You know?
Yeah, for sure.
I see this experience growing pretty quickly though, just from the video you've seen. Like, yeah. I assume you expect tremendous growth pretty quickly with what you just showed us.
Yeah, we're excited about it. So we're opening two next year. We have big ambitions. We're going to be announcing a few more sites later this year, a few more league partners, some broadcast partners, and so the momentum is real. And one of the things that I like to talk about with our company is, you know, when you deal in the business or the tech world, you know, there's not everyone's been on a team and not everyone knows how important momentum can be. You know, when you're on a winning streak, right? How do you capture it? How do you keep it? How do you keep everybody juiced up?
Yeah, the momentum.
And that's what we try to do here. Every time we get a win, you got to celebrate that win.
Definitely.
And then forget it and get to the next one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so we just try to keep that momentum going. We've got it now. We've got the juice and we're trying to just maintain it. Right
now, do you have any plans to do anything international?
100%. 100%. We look at the international markets, especially with the distribution from U.S.-based sports internationally. A lot of interest, right? We've got the NFL over in London and the rest of Europe and all the interest there. You've got the NBA going globally as well.
And then trying to do one in Germany, too.
In Germany, it's a big spot. And then additionally, you have international sport coming here, right? Whether it's Premier League, Champions League, you look at cricket. That's a massive sport.
Crazy.
It's an amazing day part for us too, right? Because those are usually on different hours where you don't have prime time U.S. sports. And so internationally is part of our footprint. One of the companies we acquired, actually, this is going to be weird, is the biggest planetarium company in the world. So we power over 700 planetariums globally. We have 42 in China. And so part of our core business is delivering that. And if you saw that video, you see where that heritage comes into play.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's all that expertise that they have in that space. And that gets to where the word cosm comes from. It's where cosmos meets the Colosseum.
Uh-huh. Right?
And so being able to take that same amazing core tech and apply it to that live sports and entertainment opportunity.
Now that you saying all those things takes me to where I'm in North Carolina, I'm in Charlotte, and I go to the Vincent Van Gogh experience. And it's kind of like you're in this whole room, they're going through all these different things and they're pulling it all up. And when I looked at you guys' video, you guys are like inside the ring octagon for an MMA fight.
100%.
And so give me that, because the music, I think you guys is, of course, the tech's way better. But can you kind of draw the connection for me, or really disassociate the connection that I'm drawing in my head?
Well, what I want to say is what the immersive Van Gogh industry, let's call it industry, it's location-based entertainment
and
the experience economy as a whole, right? It's booming. I mean, that is something that has done incredibly well, whether it's Van Gogh or Monet or
Meow. And they just pick it up and move it.
Right? Or any of these different entertainment experiences. And it's about this convergence of art and science and all these other genres with immersive technology. And we think it's a great baseline, and it's proven there is a demand. And what we focus on is how do we look at that consumer habit and then apply it to live sports and merge that with fandom. And we treat every patron like a fan. And that could be a fan of sport, but it can also be a fan of music, science, art, whatever it may be. And our job is to make sure our tech is the best in the world that can then drive that experience and give them something, an amazing time. And hopefully they spend time with us.
Yeah.
That's the goal. If someone shares their time at Cosm, then we're winning.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, that's what we try to do. And again, the biggest differentiator is the live format and the fact that we own all the tech stack and there's a lot of stuff around it. But it's an exciting time.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
All right, so you've been a CEO for, what, 12, 15 years now?
Yeah, from small companies to bigger ones.
Yeah.
Highs and lows and everything in between.
I want to ask another question about that. But how would you rate yourself? You talked about getting critiqued and all these other things. How do you critique yourself, and how do you stay hungry? I mean, number one, you got to feed everybody at your company, too. But
yeah.
Tell me, what do you see yourself? How do you grade yourself?
I'll put it this way.
Give me the critique after 15. Do you have it figured out? Are you a vet? Are you still like, man, I'm still on the rookie grind?
That's a great question, man. So look, in my first act as an NFL player, I wanted to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Just put it out there. That was my goal.
Yeah.
I clearly missed, you know, and I tell people on my team, I go, I got fired from my dream job twice. Like, they didn't casually let me go and give me severance. They said, Jeb, you suck. Leave. Right? I mean, and so as I try to think back on kind of that experience, those notes, the opportunities I had there, you try to apply that scarcity to every opportunity I have in the business world. Right? And by doing that, I think you understand that every opportunity can be fleeting if you're not devoting your time, you know, your spirit. And frankly, with what we're building at Cosm, I got to give it everything I got. And as I continue to mature as a CEO, I try to learn along the way. I mean, the being a CEO of a small startup that's doing a mobile video platform is very different than being the CEO of where I am now, which is going to be very different from when we're a big public company and we're global and I've got venues all over the world.
Yeah.
Right. And so look, I think I'm good at my job. Let's say that I'm confident in my abilities. I think I have a long way to go to improve. And I try to bring on either team members that work with me to help me get better and fill my blind spots, right? You can't be a master of it all. And I do think from a team building perspective, that's where I try to focus on and excel on is building a team. Like for example, I have three stools in the business, Cosm Tech, Cosm Media, Cosm Venues. How many real divisions are on a football team? Offense, defense,
special teams. Yeah.
Right. What makes us good at our job is that corporate support staff, the training room, the equipment room, all the guys that are out there helping us be excellent at our job.
Yeah.
Like I try to think of our corporate function as making our stars be their absolute best, right? That's my job. Set the vision, resource the hell out of the team, like make sure they have all the tools they need and then let them run, right? And make sure we get that alignment. And we've tried to set up the organization a little bit that way. Like, you know, offensive coordinator, that's my head of venues, right? Defensive coordinator, that's my head of technologies. Right. Special teams. That's my head of media. And you try to set that up that way. And I don't know if you guys feel this, but when you look at a coaching staff and a coaching tree, you'll look at guys and be like, man, that guy's running the organization like a CEO of a business.
That's the best one.
Yeah. You know what I mean? He's surrounded his staff are all studs. You know what I'm saying? Each one of those coordinators,
he's letting them run.
They're all studs. They let them run and not micromanage.
Yeah. Yep.
And I don't want to be over correlative, is that the word? Like correlate the experiences.
Yeah, but I got you.
But that mattered to me. And I think I try to learn from that and apply that. Because people always ask, you know, what did you learn in football that makes you good in the business world? Right? How did you get from A to B? And you just got to find those notes of performant teams and try to bring it that way. And so long-winded answer, man, of saying I think I'm doing pretty well.
I think you're doing
but
all
I've
right.
got a long way to run. I got a lot to learn.
Now, I was a pretty good football player at my university. You were okay at Alabama, I was pretty decent at my team, and I never had an award named after me. So, can you tell the people what the Jeb Terry Beast Mode Award is?
Wow, you know there's a lot of ways you can get an award named after you. I like to think it was all from my skill in the football field, you know. But look, I don't know if I had a reputation or not as an O lineman there, but I was an energetic, high energy guy.
And
you know, I was one of those guys that like to get fired up before the game. And,
smell salt guy?
You know, I'm a helmet beater, you know.
I'm one of those.
Like, I'm not a quiet guy in the corner sulking. I'm a
helmet beater.
I'm a get them going, you know. Some people like it, some don't, but that's probably where it came from. Well, I was pretty good in college, you know. I was able to do some good things, and I love Carolina. I love the Tar Heels. And by the way, expecting a big year from my guys.
Yeah, they should. They got to win the first
Drake
one.
Drake May slinging it. We got to win the first one.
You got to win the first one. I think that's going to really talk about everything. The first game is North Carolina versus South Carolina in Charlotte at Bank of America Stadium. Really, it's going to be a big one.
And those two teams
are not rivalries, but they don't like each other.
Yeah, come on.
They don't like each other.
You know, but look, we got Sam Howell slinging it for the Commanders now. QB1.
Yes.
Right? Just got announced. That guy's a stud. Drake May now coming through. They're saying he's the best in the nation. By the way, I don't know if y'all ever met him yet, but impressive young man.
So I watched him in high school at Myers Park. I live in Myers Park right there in Charlotte. So I watched him. Yeah, very impressive.
All the way around. So we feel good about it as Tar Heel fans, excited about where it goes.
You just guys got to get a couple stops on defense.
Tell me about it. We looked the part. I'm going to tell you, we've got some 4 and 5 stars out there.
You're halfway there. Looking the part.
We all know Carolina blue is the best color in the country. So if you guys can get behind me on that, we can get along.
I like the blue. I'm not going to lie. The blue is nice. They call it Carolina. When you say Carolina blue, people know that.
You know it.
I agree.
Alabama red.
Let's just be honest. Look, Michael Jordan really
traded for a few years.
Michael Jordan really helped you guys out. Sell it all. Let's just be honest.
Like, jump, man.
It changed the whole thing. Yeah.
However, it worked.
Right, tell me, all right, which one was harder? Being an all-academic ACC player, football player, his senior year, or putting up 27 reps at 225 at the combine. I got 19. How many you get?
27 reps.
13.
I got 19.
I got more in the in my pro day. But
What's the official number?
Yeah. 30. 30 has got to be at least 30.
30?
Yeah, I did better in my pro day, but I got 27 at the combine. Y'all are going to laugh at this. I got a lot of sports fans on our team, right? One of my business development guys, shout out Peter Murphy, head of our media group now, killing it at the organization, on an all hands, pulls up my combine stats and presents it to the entire organization. And I was good across the board, except Emily, I have really short arms, right, for an O-lineman. And that was the knock. And he gets on, he said, man, our CEO is really good, but you guys, he's got short arms. I don't know if we're gonna do this. But I will say, academics was always important to me. It was always something instilled in my family to perform, you know, wherever I'm going to spend my time, do it well type of thing. And it was important. And so I will say when I went and got my MBA, though, it changed from getting good grades to studying to succeed in the real world.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a different dynamic.
Your mind's in a different place.
It's in a different place.
When you go back, you're in a totally different place.
You got to go back. I've been trying to get him to go back and get his master's. I'm trying to tell him he don't want to.
Dude, I have a normal degree. Like,
you don't want another one?
I don't want another
one. You need one. Get one.
It's a good
I'm trying
experience.
To tell him.
You know what?
Everything I pitched to you,
we're going to continue to keep this podcast moving. And we're not going to get stuck in the mud.
We'll advise
getting
you,
another degree.
Yes.
This is like,
yes.
That's exactly right. I'll get on one shoulder. On the other.
You don't want to fight. You don't want to do Amazing Race. You don't want to get your master's.
We want you to keep growing.
Come on. I
appreciate that. I appreciate that. Jeb, take all this into consideration, okay? Keep your grades up, my man. And but I would say this. What made you choose, you know, you're from Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
What made you choose Chapel Hill over University of Texas, Texas A&M, or
SMU?
Harvard? Because I heard you got an offer.
Man, it's easier than you think. It was the only ride I got. Unknown guy coming out of high school. I showed up. You know, back then, the summer camp mattered. You know, you didn't have all the recruiting stuff that's going on now. It was hard to get known. I went to a military school in Indiana for high school. And I always liked Carolina. I mean, shout out Jordan for,
I'm telling you,
as being a Texas kid, knowing about the Carolina Blue. And I was like, let's go check it out. Knew they had a good business school and went to camp. And they were like, who are you? Right? They're like, where'd you come from? I go, well, I'm from Texas, but I played football at a military school in Indiana. And it's basically like, do you want a scholarship type of thing? You know, I was playing D-line at the time, thought I was an athlete, still think I'm an athlete, but, you know, got pushed over. But, and you know, they saw potential in me and they offered me, which was fantastic. They gave me a shot to play D-line when I came in, and I did my first year before I got hurt, and loved every minute of it. And, you know, I looked at Texas. It would have been great to go there.
Yeah.
If they would have given me a ride, it would have been a hard decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't. Harvard was fantastic, but I didn't think it offered the football I wanted at the time either, you know? And I looked at Carolina being the best of both worlds, to be honest. Had a great business school.
Again, they do. You know, academics are great there.
Top 10 undergrad business school. Great brand. We were just coming off those years when Dre Bly was there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, we were, you know, top five in the country. Mac was there just previously before he went to Texas. So there was, we were still riding really high.
Yeah.
And
was Coach Torbush the DC then?
Yeah, Coach Torbush.
He coached me in college.
Yeah, Coach Torbush is the man.
He is.
You know?
I love how he can yell, get all angry, and never curse.
Never curse.
Never.
Never.
Yeah.
You guys got them all.
Called you Meathead.
Yeah, hey, Meathead. Yeah. You know, Coach Torbush was there, and, you know, I had a lot to love about Carolina.
I agree.
I'm fortunate for the opportunity.
Yeah, right, so tell me this before you ask your last question, or I know you're going to come off the dome with something hot, so think about it for a second. All right, I want to know this. How many acquisitions have you had and how many exits have you had? And what do I mean by that is like how many businesses have you bought up and acquired? I always think this is an incredible stat. This is like looking on the back of your baseball card.
Yeah.
And right, so Jeb Terry, how many?
Fired twice from his dream job.
Yeah.
Let's get that. That's the start.
All right. Fired twice from dream job.
For the first startup that we did, and you know my guy, Ryan Neese. You know Ryan Neese? One best friend and co-founder of the first business we did.
Oh, wow.
So we sold that business, went to Fox Sports and did it there. Started another business that was a failure flat out, learned a lot from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The partnership dynamic wasn't right and it didn't work out. And then with his next business, founded this other one, invested in a number of businesses that did well between then and now, and then recently have bought essentially three companies, major acquisitions, but with a few tuck-ins underneath that as well, and have a few more to go. And look, we have a big, big vision for this one, man. This is, Cosm is a, we say it's category defining, right? It's one of these things where it is just a Cosm. I think we have an opportunity here to totally change the dynamic of the sports industry. And we're seeing the industry tend to agree, which is exciting. You know, it's been a lot of work, a whole lot of work. This is a good one.
I'm excited to hear a little more about that. Mount Rushmore. Four presidents are on this big mountain somewhere in the Dakotas.
It's in South Dakota.
Okay. South Dakota. I said Dakotas. Well, I'm South Dakota. Now,
I'm just there.
That's, oh, my God. Will you let me? Why? Why?
Is it cool in person?
Thomas, can I fire him?
It's cool. It's like huge, though.
Partnership.
It's way bigger than what you think.
Partnership is not working. This partnership is not working. You keep cutting me off. Everything I pitch to you, you shoot it down. Oh, my God. I need a new partner. Lil Jeb, come on. I need a new partner. Oh, my God. Anyway, the Dakotas, South Dakota. I've had people in my life. I'm not self-made. I've had a lot of people like help me, my failures. They've critiqued me. They've molded me. They've shaped me. Who's on your personal Mount Rushmore?
Oh, man.
Four people.
That's a good question.
Four people.
Thanks.
I mean, that's off the cuff. I don't have any prep work for that either. That's one you got to give a lot of thought about.
I freestyle, man. That's what I do.
Man, do you have yours?
I do, but I'm not on the hot seat. Yes, I do.
Look, one of them is my dad, 100%, you know, shaped me, influenced me a lot. Another one's my mom.
Yeah.
I mean, they were the yin and the yang and helped form me who I am, the good, the bad, the in-between, all of it, you know, really, really drove me to pursuit of where I am now. Oh, man, goodness. I'm just going to throw my wife on there too.
There it is.
She's the leader of our family. You know, when I get home, I am in her domain and it's everything I can to do what I can to help her as we run our family.
Yeah.
Right. I got three kids and there's a lot going on. And then the fourth, I mean, goodness gracious, guys. I'm going to reserve the right to come back on that one. I don't know offhand.
There's no way. We're not letting you.
I mean, I don't know that I can do it. I've had a lot of great mentors, man.
You haven't slowed down yet since you've been on this stage. And all of a sudden, it's like.
You got me. It's a big one. Between the three I named. The three I named, I'm stumped. I'm 100% stumped. I've had some great coaches, some great mentors, some great capital partners. I've been blessed to have a ton of people in my life.
You're not going
to
put one up.
I don't think that's fair to the others, you know?
Jeff, you might have to make the Mount Rushmore.
Jeffy, you might make it, but then his sisters are going to come at me.
What did we just start?
Man, I'm going to be thinking about this all night. You guys have got me. Give me yours.
Oh, mine. It was my mom, my dad, my wife, And then it was my my high school coach.
Okay.
My high school coach, Bill Clark, because he really changed me. He really taught me a lot of things early. And everybody else, I mean, I could pick a couple professional coaches, but my high school coach really instilled in me a lot. And I was not even going to play football. I was like going to quit.
Wow.
Yeah. And just play basketball. And he was like, you need to come back. You need to like play. He came in, it changed everything. So for me, I was like, not even about to be on basketball. I was just going to be basketball.
Wow.
What? So, okay. Basketball with the Carolina Blue?
Hey, rest assured, rest assured. I am terrible at hoops. That guy, though, he'll be all right. All right. What about you, Peanut?
Mom, dad. I'd say mom, dad, wife, and then a good friend of mine. His name's John Wright. He played football in the 60s, turned business kind of like you, and he just really helped me grow mentally, you know, mind control, not mind control, just controlling my mind and just mental toughness and things like that. So, yeah, he great mentor for me, helped me, you know, motivational speaker and all that. So, yeah, those are my four.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I miss the most now on the other side of the being in the business world is you don't have coaches like you have in football. Yeah. You don't have sometimes coaches are tough, right? But they're telling you the plus minus.
Yeah.
And then how to get better. And then you've got a team of people that are here to help you get better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Versus like you're just out there.
You're like, man, the sales cycle's long. It's like, do I send another email? Do I call? How we got to close this deal?
Yeah.
Right? It's like, you know, how do you react? And, you know, you miss it when you're out of it, right?
Yeah.
When you're in it, like, man, this dude is on me. Like, the step 6 inches that way is not going to matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would kill to have someone telling me
for
like,
sure. But that's the beauty of us though. Like we run toward criticism and that's what makes us who we are. And that's why you're killing it right now. That's why you're so successful in your second act right now, because you're always looking to get better. You're always looking for that criticism. And when you fail, it's like, yo, what lessons did I learn? Because without failure, I can't have success. Right.
That's exactly right. Every win I've ever had is like, it's a cliche, right?
Yeah.
But like there's a failure in every one. I talk about, you know, the Instagram line and for every like high, there's a, you know, what's the opposite of Instagram? You know, there's a low point there every time.
Sure. Yeah.
A lot of people miss that. And at any rate, it's true in football and it's true in the business world and it's true in all walks of life, you know?
Yeah.
Jeb Terry, you are the freaking man, dog.
Appreciate it.
I can't wait to see Cosm continue to blow up. I can't wait to see the arenas as you continue to put them up. All these places I'm really, really looking forward to. And I'll definitely be in there. I don't know if I'll be front row, but I'll be standing in there ready.
Hey, we'll get you there.
I'm going to be front row. I like it.
There it is.
I want
to
see it.
I'm ready to go. Well, anyways, man, thank you guys so much as always tuning in right here on this one. Thank you, Peanut. Good job. You know how to listen and pay attention. All right. Anywhere you pick up your podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio Podcast, thanks as always for tuning in. Give us a rating, 5 stars. Only 5-star rating. Give us a review. Hit that button. Follow. Man, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. Jeb Taylor, you're off the hot seat. Peanut, get us out of here on it, dog.
I'm Peanut Tillman. There's someone waving at the window.
There it
That's
is.
That's my guy right there.
That's Mooch.
Hey, there you go.
There we go.
What's up, Mooch?
He
can't hear us, though.
Oh, he can't hear us. He can't hear us. Sorry.
Yeah. Hey. But yeah, we just saw Coach. And I'm Peanut, Jeb, Rome, my uncle. We out.
Lil Jebby.
Oh, and
Lil Jebby. Want to get a cameo? Want to jump in?
Get a little cameo.
Jebby,
come on, quick.
In the hurry.
Come on.
Turn here.
Turn around right here. You get it right there, right there, right there, right there. We're looking at that.
There he is. Look at the camera.
Sorry. Get in the middle of the room.
Come on, Jeb.
Yeah, there he is.
Right over there.
There he is.
Yeah. Yeah.
See?
Boom.
There we go. 5 stars. Say, give him 5 stars.
5 stars.
5 stars. We'll see y'all later.
Hey.
Appreciate it.
Second Players Act. What up? Holla at us.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.